as I wait, heart of God.
Hello, new life. Welcome to the Growth Group podcast, where we believe that spiritual growth happens better in circles than it does in rows. My name is David Hagen, and I'm joined by Jonathan Markham, the pastor of New Life Christian Fellowship here in Pacifica, California, and we record these podcasts to help you go deeper with Sunday's teaching, both in your small group and in your individual walk with the Lord. We are now in our second of an eight-week series following a book by Jeff Vanderstilt called Saturate.
Absolutely.
This particular week, would you say the focus of this week is discipleship?
Yes.
I kind of struggled to find like a one core
right.
idea.
Right. I think it's discipleship.
It's
looking at sort of, it's taking sort of what it means to follow Jesus, which is of course discipleship, but actually looking at it in more detail and saying, look, what does that look like sort of on a day-to-day basis as opposed to more generalized?
Right.
I mean, I think he goes, you know, as we're going to see in these questions, he is pretty specific in the different ways, and I think that the challenge that it comes to us is to take, you know, the title of the sermon is In or All In. Mm. Now, we discovered last week,
This is not a reference to gambling.
No, it's not a reference to gambling. But it's, you know, you can be in. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've prayed the prayer. I've done all those sorts of things. And I'm in. But that's not actually what Jesus is asking of us.
Right.
He's asking us to be all in.
Right.
And the scripture that we actually, that sort of undergirds this, is the one in Acts where he talks, where he describes the church. And although we may not, the looking at that may not take a long time, what that reveals, I think, and I think that Vanderstelt agrees with, or maybe I agree with Vanderstelt or whatever, that indicates that they learnt from Jesus what it means to be all in. Because if anything describes a bunch of Christians, a bunch of people following Jesus and being all in, it's Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. Everything is in.
Their time is in. They spend time in prayer and in the Word.
They are in each other's lives.
Yeah. That's great. Well, we pretty much cover the content of our first question, but I'll read it anyways.
Right.
Disciple is its name. Every believer in Jesus is a disciple of Jesus, called to be with Jesus, be like Jesus, and do as Jesus did. Vanderstelt provides this other helpful definition of discipleship. It is the ongoing process of submitting all of life to Jesus and seeing him saturate your entire life and world with his presence and power. It's a process of daily growing in your awareness of your need for him in the everyday stuff of life. He likes that phrase, everyday stuff of life. What stands out to you from that definition? How has such a disciple moved from being in to being all in?
I think it's this everyday stuff, as you say, he likes it. And it's recognizing that if we are going to be saturated, as we looked at last week, if you want God to saturate people through you, he's first got to do saturation to you.
Right. You're not just saturating your Sunday.
Right. You're saturating every part of your life, whether you're with other people or you're... Now, that doesn't mean you've got your head in your Bible all of the time. What it does mean is that you are conscious of your relationship with Jesus all the time.
Right.
I mean, I am married to Maggie every moment of every day. You're married to Liz every moment of every day. Now, you're not with Liz all the time, but everything about you and your life is dictated by the fact that you are a married person and Liz is your wife.
Right.
That has changed the totality of your life.
Right. I can be defined, at least in part, in my relationship towards Liz.
Right. And what he's saying here is we need to also be defined, or maybe even more be defined, in our relationship to Jesus, and that needs to be apparent. You know, I mean, you wear we wear wedding rings so that everybody knows that we're married. They wouldn't. It'll take them a little while to find out who we're married to, but we're married. And there are things that are about our life which are where we behave as married people. But every single one of us needs to. Our relationships to Jesus needs to be reflected in every part of our lives. Our consciousness of the presence of Jesus needs to become instinctive to us.
Yeah, that's a high calling, but it's inspiring as well, because when you do have that spiritual consciousness, that awareness of God in the everyday stuff of life, you feel more at peace, more at ease. You can take on the everyday stuff of life with a confidence and a consciousness that God is with you through all
right.
of that.
And this is not an attempt to make people feel guilty and say, well, when I look at what I've just described, I know I fall way short of that. But that's where I want to go. You know, that's where I want to be. What I want to reach for, what I want to ask God to help me get to.
That's beautiful. All right, our second question begins an examination of three different discipleship environments. It's called Life on Life. This kind of all-in discipleship, Van der Stelt teaches, happens in three environments: life on life, life in community, and life on mission. Why would life on life relationships like Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, or Paul and Timothy necessitate vulnerability? Van der Stelt describes such friendships as others in your life who are committed to bringing your brokenness out in the open and bringing the gospel of Jesus to bear on it. Who knows you well enough to peel back the layers and speak the truth of the gospel into areas of need or disbelief?
Yeah, this is such a great question, in as much as, there's a phrase which, you know, I used to use a lot, is a friend is someone who knows the worst about you but loves you just the same. And who is willing to, I mean, because we're all broken, we all have faults, and yet I can be broken with you, and you're not going to say, well, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. But I'm also going to walk with you in that brokenness, in the hope that in the knowledge that Jesus can mend that brokenness,
right,
can heal that brokenness.
There's a way in which any relationship that you're in, the strength, intimacy of that relationship can be described in relationship to how much that person knows about you.
Right.
So one's spouse will have the greatest knowledge about you and therefore have the most ability to speak into your life positively, to have that positive influence. So
I mean, you can illustrate it with your relationship with your doctor. You know, if you go to your doctor and you tell him exactly how you feel, exactly where the pain is, exactly what's wrong with you, he can then effectively treat you.
Yeah, and the better the doctor knows your situation, the better they can treat you.
The better he's able to treat you. And the more we know each other, the more we love each other, the more we accept each other, the easier it is to love each other fully into healing and into mending of our brokenness. And so, you know, it's ultimately or initially being really vulnerable to someone is quite scary, quite difficult. And I'm not suggesting that you vomit your deepest and darkest feelings or over anybody who's anywhere near you.
Right.
But I'm suggesting you really need that. Jesus had Peter, James, and John. They were his really close friends. And when it came to that point where he was feeling extraordinarily vulnerable as he went to the cross, those were the people he wanted with him.
Yeah.
Who are those people for us?
Right. And, you know, perhaps our answer to that question is, I don't have someone like that in my life right now.
Exactly. Good point, David. And what do we do then? We ask God to provide them for us. And we're willing to open our eyes to see those people who we could. Because, you know, the truth is that if you want those people, you're going to have to invest time in them.
Right. It's not going to happen overnight.
Nope. You're going to have to invest time in getting to know them and testing the water. And, you know, and I believe that God I am so, so blessed with having a number of these people in my life. But they're people who I've known for a long time and with whom I've walked for long periods of time. But don't be discouraged. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. You know, you can begin to find those things.
Yes, that's right. Our third question is called Life in Community. It's another one of those relational environments that Vanderstelt describes. One of this week's big themes, Vanderstelt recalls, is our need of each other's strengths in our areas of weakness or of growth. Summarize Paul's big idea behind his church is a body metaphor in 1 Corinthians 12, and then skim his spiritual gifts list. Who in your community is strong in areas you're weak, and who is weak in areas that God has made you strong? How might you serve one another to grow up in every way into him who is our head?
Again, this is such a good, I mean, we look at this in our membership class, our church membership class. We look at all of the individual pictures that are given in Scripture of a building, of a body, of a family. But the essential nature of all of them is that they all have parts, and without one of those parts, then the building is weaker, the body is disabled, all of those things. And I think it was in Vanderstelt that I read that it's really interesting. Jesus shows us all of the gifts of the Spirit. He exhibits them in his life. But we need everybody. We've all got some of them. Mm-hmm. And so we all need each other in order to be the body of Christ.
Vanderstelt described, I think it's Ephesians 4, 11 maybe, that speaks about teachers and prophets, evangelists, all these different roles, shepherds within the church, and then kind of talk about how Jesus filled each one of those in an exemplary way. And then he also asked us to consider the community that we've been placed in, most likely our church community, and to ask perhaps if I'm weak in evangelism, which I am, what I should do in responding to this week's material is to look around my church community for someone who is a natural evangelist and to maybe ask them for help, advice, tips, in order just to grow in that area.
Absolutely. And those are the things that we can actively grow. Now, and also as we function, you know, we recognize that we need to look to when we were looking at the prophetic word, we said, look, New Testament prophecy depends on the other gifts around it. It depends, in order for a prophetic word to be effective, it needs the gift of discernment and wisdom to go alongside it in order that we might be assured that this comes from God.
Yeah, it almost seems as if Paul is saying that one person doesn't have the complete package here, like with tongues.
Right.
We need someone to interpret. Right. Otherwise, you know, just encourage yourself at home with that kind of thing. Yeah. That's great. Our last area, our last environment is life on mission. It isn't Pastor Jonathan's job to grow the church. On the contrary, Jesus gave pastors to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body. The saints, that is, you and me, get about this great task, in Vanderstelt's words, in the everyday stuff of life. How was Jesus' ministry in everyday stuff of life ministry? Why did he feel confident involving his disciples in hands-on ministry while they were still in training? What experience have you had learning on mission from others?
Well, I think perhaps the best picture of this in Scripture we see when he sent people out.
Mm-hmm.
He sent them out two by two.
Right.
So that was the first of the principles, so that they could encourage one another and they could watch each other and do and help one another.
But sheep among wolves, after all.
Right. And they also came back.
and reported.
So they came back and reported, and they told, I mean, we're told very little about it, other than God says, you know, don't rejoice in your successes, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Mm-hmm. So he didn't want them to get too cocky.
Big-headed, right?
They came back in order to continue their learning. So yeah. I sort of,
and in large part, what their job was to preempt the traveling ministry of Jesus.
Right.
They went out to all these towns, and then Jesus went to those towns after them. They
right.
were preparing the way in the same way that John the Baptist did.
Right. And I think that we need to, as a church, we need to understand that this is part of our ministry. That first of all, when we go out of those doors at the back of the church, we're going out to ministry. We're going out to ministry. That we come in to be, in a sense, be filled up and be
equipped. And to minister to one another.
And to minister to one another. And then we go out into the world. And sometimes we need to come back and say, hey, I got in this situation. I got in that situation.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do. What should I do? And so we grow together to be effective in ministry. Now, that again means that we have to be vulnerable enough to say to each other, hey, I was talking to so-and-so, and he asked me this question, or she asked me that question. I didn't know the answer. Do you know the answer? Do you know where I can find the answer?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hence we then grow together in our effectiveness as a mission. I mean, it's the buzzword of the moment, but as a missional community, as a community on task for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a community living out the Great Commission. Defined by what Jesus says we should be defined as.
Right.
Making disciples who make disciples. All right, well, if this week is about discipleship, what's next week about? Chapter 3, or section 3.
I think we begin to look at, because one of the most important things that we begin to understand is, and we're going to take all of these things and we're going to go deeper into each of them, that we understand our identity in these contexts.
Mm. Is that a 2 week?
I think there's 3 weeks when we look at our identity.
That's great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's so important for every Christian to revisit again and again. And we'll get a chance to do that next week.
As I wait.